Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Elizabeth Weiler, Tzertul Bas Reb Chaim. All the shots we learn for should have an aliyah. We begin on the very top line of Kuf Mem Amud Aleph with the words Itmar. Gemara begins, Itmar, Chardol Shaloshu Me'er of Shabbos. If you have a mustard, which a mustard seed that is kneaded with a K, on Erev Shabbos, so this is perfectly permissible, of course, not a problem. However, you're not allowed to knead on Shabbos, and in certain situations, even on Yontif. So, Lemachar, on Shabbos, Omar Rav says, Memacho, you're allowed to go and mix it a little bit more. Memacho, we'll see, means to do some sort of stirring, either with Mayim or Yayin, Rashi says, and you're allowed to add water or wine to this with a Kli. However, avalobiyat, but not with your hand. In other words, you can mix it by adding this water or this wine to it, but you can only do this with the utensil, but not with your hand. Somewhat of a paradox. Rashi explains that in this situation, when you're using a kli, that's a shinui. Mashma zehu shinui shalo. This is an abnormal way of doing it. The normal way seems to be with your hand, according to Rav, and therefore you only have to do it in an abnormal way. Shmuel is surprised by this. I'm like, Shmuel says, really? Biyad? You're allowed to do this with your hand? Atu kol yomo memachule biyad. But do you ever do it with your hand? That's maichol chamormo. This is the way you prepare something for animals by using your hand. So therefore, this is not the normal way to do it. You're saying that you're not allowed to do it with your hand. That you're telling me that the normal way is with the hand. That doesn't make any sense. Elam Shmuel says, Machel Biyad, on Shabbos you'll have to do it with your hand, because that's not the normal way to do it, and the Einu Machel B'Kli, but you're not allowed to use a Kli, which is the normal way that you do things. As Rashi says over here, with the hand, Shmuel says, Ein Zedarko B'Chol, that's not the normal way, therefore with your hand you can do it on Shabbos. But with a Kli, that's the normal way, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You can only use your hand. You can use your hand, but not with a clay. Itmar, we learned in the base of Medrash, Rabbi Elazar says, he prohibits both the stirring of this mustard on Shabbos by pouring in the wine or the water, either stirring it with your hand or stirring it with your kli. He's a very machmir position, says you're not allowed to do this. This is lisha on Shabbos, which is not allowed to be done. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan has the Mom Smekel opinion. Rav Yochanan Amar, Echad Zev Yechad Zev Mutter. He says that this is not a normal way of doing things, and therefore you're allowed to do it with either your hand or with your kli. That's both ways are permitted. How do we paskin? So Abaye V'Rava, Damar Tavaya, both Abaye V'Rava paskin over here, ain't halacha Rav Yochanan. The halacha is not like Rav Yochanan, this Mom Smekel position. Sasemis tells us, why are they telling us that the halacha is not like Rav Yochanan? They remind us that when you have a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rav or Shmuel, or even Rav and Shmuel, we normally pass it like Rav Yochanan. So here's an exception to the rule, because it's such a makel position that the halacha they're telling us, Abaye and Rav, is not like Rav Yochanan, even though it normally would be like Rav Yochanan. Now, come Rav Yochanan b'shitasei de Rabbi Elazar. Rav Yochanan changed his mind. He retracted his original very, very makel position, and he turned into the position of Rabbi Elazar, which is the most machmir position, that both with your hand or with your kli, that it's also to do this. And come Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar changed his opinion, and he held the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel's opinion was that you're allowed to do this with your hand, but you're not allowed to do this with the kli. And now, Abaye the Rabbah, don't reply. Now they pass over here, Alocha, like Rabbi Yochanan. Now they can hold their normal rule, like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore they said that Alocha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Now that Rabbi Yochanan is the more machmir position, so now they're very comfortable passing the normal way that we do, like Rabbi Yochanan. Ime d'Abaye, we had this many times already. Abaye was never an orphan. His father died shortly after conception. His mother died during childbirth. And he was raised by this governess, this nurse that took care of him. So he always calls her his mother. So Ime d'Abaye, this mother of Abaye, she wasn't his biological mother, but she raised him. So of delay, she prepared for him on Shabbos this chardol that was memacho, with either wine or water. But Abaye wouldn't take it himself. He didn't hold that that was acceptable. Similarly, the Visu de Zira, the wife of Zira, of the Leila Rav Chia Baravshi, she made for one of the Talmidim of her husband Zira, she made for him this Mamacho, this Chardol on Shabbos, the Loachal, and he wouldn't eat it as well. She was surprised. She said to him, Lirabcha, to your Rebbe, Rashi says to Zira, Avidile, I would make it for him, Loachal, and he would eat it. But you're more Machmir than your Rebbe? Didn't understand. Amar Rav Bar Shabbah, Rabbi by Shabbos said, "Hava koimno kamed Ravina." One time I was in front of Ravina, ubachshile. I saw him mixing this type of charto bishufsa the suma the ochal. He was mixing it. Rashi says with emtsoy shoshum, the middle part of the shum, the stalk, the core of a garlic, and he ate it with mixing it in this way. That was a shinoi, and he would eat it in this way. How do we paskin? Where it says Amar Zutra. Less hilchasa kikol hani shmaisasa. The halacha is not like any of these opinions we brought down. Now you see here the Rukiva Eger, the Gilgin Ashas, he tells you go look in a Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Nun Dalet, where he says Tosus discusses this idea as well. When it says less hilchasa kikol hani shmaisasa, it doesn't mean like every single one, because in fact the halacha is going to be like the makel opinion of Rav Yochanan that we had actually rejected. Rav Yochanan had retracted that opinion, but the halacha is actually like that opinion. So it means like most of the opinions that we just brought down, we don't paskin. Ella kihod it. We follow the following halachic opinion. Chardo shalosh mi'erev Shabbos. If you started kneading this chardo on Erev Shabbos, so then on Shabbos, l'mochar, memacho, you're allowed to go and further mix it with adding the wine or the water. Bein biyad, bein bikli. You can do this with your hand or with the utensil. The most makel opinion that Rav Yochanan had retracted. Similarly, one is allowed to, you can even add honey into it. However, when you add the honey, you shouldn't go and scramble it like you would make a scrambled egg, Rashi says. So you don't scramble it very, very well. El ma'ariv, you're allowed to just mix it a little bit. Ma'ariv means to mix it lightly. Rashi explains, like you'd scramble an egg in a kara, in a plate, with a kaf, with some sort of a ladle. There are trifa, like you would normally mix it and stir it. Shemake b'kochi. You can go and pound it with the back of this ladle or this spoon, and that is not allowed to be done. So that's the normal way you do it. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, but you can just stir it lightly, ma'ariv. Then the Gemara continues, shachlayim. This is something called kress. Sheshchokim Erev Shabbos. Again, you ground this up on Erev Shabbos. You chopped it up on Erev Shabbos. So on Shabbos, l'mochar nosin l'sochin shemen b'chometz. You're allowed to add to it oil and vinegar on Shabbos. That's not called kneading it further on Shabbos. U'mamshin l'sochin amisa. You're also allowed to it amisa. Amisa, Rashi is going to tell us, is something called mint. And the lo yitrof, again, here the same thing. You're not allowed to scramble it. You're not allowed to pound it real hard with this back of the kaf, ele ma'ari, but you'll have to stir it a little bit. Likewise, shum, shirisko me'erev Shabbos. If you have garlic that you chopped up on Erev Shabbos, so l'mocha nosin l'socho pul ugrisin, so then on Shabbos you're allowed to add to it pul ha-mitzri, a certain type of bean. Ugrisin is like grits, or a certain type of a split type of grit or bean. Below yishchok ele ma'ari. Again, he and Allah do this trifa action, not allowed to bang it, crush it very, very much. However, ma'ariv, you'll have to stir it a little bit. Then the Gemara tells us, umam shechas amisa l'sochem. We said above that you can add to the shachlaim, you can add to it amisa. So what exactly is this amisa? I already told you, my amisa. So it's ninya. Ninya, Rashi translate as mint. Amar bayi, shvamina, we see from here, hai ninya, that adding this mint obviously benefits, it improves the shachlayim, or else you wouldn't go and add. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah, says, "Va'osin inomlim b'Shabbos." We said you're allowed to make this concoction called inomlim on Shabbos. It's certainly a drink that they made, as the Gemara will tell us, from certain ingredients. So the Gemara tells us, "Tanu Rabban," and we learned in a Braisa, "Osin inomlim b'Shabbos." You are allowed to make this inomlim, this drink, on Shabbos. However, they ain't osin aluntis, but you're not allowed to make an aluntis drink. The difference is the enomlin was drunk even by people that were not needing it for medicinal purposes, even though it had medicinal purposes, but it was drunk as a regular beverage. And the aluntis was only drunk by people who needed this for its medicinal properties, and therefore it wasn't a regular beverage, and therefore you're not allowed to go and make it on Shabbos. What are the definitions of the enomlin and the aluntis? Ve'ezohi enomlin, ve'ezohi aluntis. What are these two definitions? So enomlin is made up of the following three ingredients. It's yain, it's wine, udvash, it's honey, upilpulin, and peppers. And they mix together in a certain way. Aluntis, what's that? That's yain yashin, that's old wine, umayim sulun, and clear water, and afarisim, when you add to it balsam. That is done over here for medicinal purposes. And the of delay, what medicinal purposes is done for? The of delay, it was made for somebody, lebei masusa lemaker, somebody coming out of the hot schwitz, coming out of the bathhouse to cool them down. So that was the purpose of the luntus. It wasn't drunk as a normal beverage. It clearly was done for medicinal purposes. As Rashi says, sheinu lemashke, so it's not for a thirsty person, elitzane, to cool off the body after you went to the schwitz, and it therefore is a type of refuah. Amar Yosef, Zimna Chada Alis Basamar Ukva Lebe Bani. One time I went to the bathhouse with Mar Ukva and Kinafki, and when we left the bathhouse, Asoi, they brought to me and gave me to drink Ashkayan Chamra Kad Chad Koso. They gave me one cup of wine. Now, many of the Mefarshim explain that this doesn't mean it's the wine. This is talking about this Aluntis that we were just talking about. Not just the wine. They also brought it with the Ayin Yoshan, they brought it with the Mayim Slulim and the Afar Simon. And he drank it. V'chashi. And he felt mi binso de roshi the atufra de kari. Rashi explains mi binso de roshi means like from the hairs on his head to the toenails on his feet. So from head to toe, as we would say, he felt that this had really been mitzaning him. It really had cooled him off. And he mentioned, he said, v'yashkai in kasachrin, if I had drunk a second cup, hava mestafina, I would be concerned, dilma menakuli mizchusa de omo de osi. So Rashi explains that imayisi nitso mimenu shelo emos, I would be concerned over here that by drinking the second cup that I would deserve to die, it would cool me off so much, and they would save me in Shemayim, and as a result, I would be using up my zechusim. That's how dangerous drinking a second cup of this aluntis would be for a person. It could cool you off so much. That's how much one cup really cooled you off. So a second cup would cool you off even so much more. That's the way Rashi understands this. Others understand that. He said, if they'd given me a second cup, it would be like I had gotten a share of Olam Haba, and therefore they would deduct my zechus from Olam Haba because they gave it to me over here. That's how good this second cup would be. Okay, so this is one time that Rav Yosef said he went in with Mar Ukva, and wow, one time. But Mar Ukva did this every day, apparently. But Mar Ukva d'shasi kol yomos. So how was he able to tolerate such a strong drink? So Gemara says, oh, shayin Mar Ukva d'doshpei. This was a principle we know in medicine very much. A person does something regularly so they can get accustomed to it. The body actually gets accustomed to it, and it no longer has its effect as much. This is something we call in medicine tolerance. And this tolerance can be built up to alcohol or to other products. And so Mestama, this aluntis had alcohol in it, and he was able to build up a tolerance to it by having it every day and didn't have the same impact as somebody who'd never had this drink beforehand. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein shorin, you're not allowed to soak this growth, this type of produce known as chiltis. Rashi gives us some foreign language words for it. It again, was made from some plants. And anyway, this chiltis is not allowed to be soaked on Shabbos in poshrin, in lukewarm water. Again, we mentioned many times, poshrin is a pshara. It's a compromise between hot and cold. So what we would call room temperature, lukewarm water. That you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. However, avonostein l'sol chachomets, but you are allowed to go and add this chiltis into vinegar and then use that as a dip and dip whatever you want into this chiltis on Shabbos. Matavobo ma'achalo, you'll have to go and dip into it and eat with it. And the Gemara will explain why Rashi says, amai ein shorim, why you can't go and soak it in this potion, in this lukewarm water. Then it says in the Mishnah of Ein Sholin, some of the gears of Ein Sholin, it's the same thing, basically. Ein Sholin is a karshini. You're not allowed to go take the vetch. A vetch is a certain type of bean. This karshini, a certain type of bean, and they had some psolus with them. So you're not allowed to go, Rashi says, and soak it in water to separate out the bean from the psolus. Matzav lehem mayim, Rashi says, b'chli, you put water on top of it into your utensil, livror psol son, in order to go and remove the chaff that's on them, the psolus that's on them, and that's what it means, ein sholin. It would be the similar idea to ein shorin. Likewise, the Mishnah says, lo shofen oson, you're not allowed to go and rub it to remove this psolus from the actual bean itself, from the vetch. Mishnah continues and says, avonosin l'socha kivara, you're allowed to go and actually put this into a certain type of a sieve, or l'socha kokol, or a certain type of basket, like a wicker basket, and even though your intention isn't to go specifically and have it sifted, but if it does get sifted, because you're using this to carry it, to pour it, so that's not a problem. As Rashi says, v'afapi, even though sometimes the b'amim, shapsolus nofel derech nikve akav, even though the waste will fall through the holes in the sieve, or in this wicker basket, the nimtzor nizb, and it gets sifted, gets selected out by itself, that is allowed because that's not your purpose. You're using this to just store it and hold it. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Ein kovrin es hateven b'kibra. However, you're not allowed to put straw. Rashi says this is the kash that you cut up, and you put this straw into this sieve, that you're not allowed to do. But lo yitnen agabi mokum gavor, you likewise can't put it in a high place, b'fshol sheyerid hamotz, in order that the chaff will come off from it. Either this is a winnowing process, Rashi says, or it actually somehow sifts it. In any way, you're not allowed to do that. However, I will note a little bit kvar. You are allowed to put it again in the sieve, the nose in the socha avos, or and then pour it from the sieve into the avos, into the feeding trough of the animal. That is allowed to be doing, even though some of it may sift out while it's in the kabra, because that's not your intention. Your intention is to transfer it, and if some gets sifted out, that's okay. Gemara starts off and says, "Yibay luhu shara mai." What happens if somebody went and soaked? We said in the Mishnah, "Ain shara in esachiltis." What happens if somebody did it? Isn't this a deraisa? This is the rabbanon. So tigur Rav Adar Narshah, kamed Rav Yosef. This Amora Rav Adar Narshah, he interpreted a Mishnah in front of Rav Yosef as saying shara chayv chatas. That if somebody in fact soaked this chiltis, he would be chayv chatas if he did it on Shabbos. Abai is surprised at this. I'm only Abai. Elamayata shara umtsa b'maya hochanami de b'chayv. If a person were to soak meat in water on Shabbos, are you going to be chayv of the raisa for that? What's the problem with soaking something on Shabbos? How are you telling me that that is an issa de raisa? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, El Omar Abai, Abai says, it's only a din de rabbanim, either rabbanim. Why do the rabbis not allow you to go and soak the chiltis on Shabbos? Shelo yaseh kider shoseh b'chol. Because it looks like you're doing it the way you do it on a weekday, and therefore you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Boy, minei Rav Yochanan, Rav Yannai. Rav Yochanan asked from Rav Yannai the following shaila: Ma'u lishtos es achiltus betzonin? Are you allowed to go and drink the chiltus in soaked in cold water, not psharim, not hot water, but cold water? So that's what Rav Yochanan asked Rav Yannai, and Amalek also. Rav Yannai told him, no, even in cold water, it's also. But Rav Yochanan says, well, not sound, but we learned in our Mishnah, ain't shorin es achiltus beposhrin. Our Mishnah said that you can't soak it in this lukewarm water, implication being, you are allowed to go and soak it in cold water. So why do you say, Rav Yannai, that you're not allowed to soak it even in cold water? Now, the Menachem Nation of Nefesh asks over here, why did Rav Yochanan ask him the question? Rav Yochanan knew the Mishnah, obviously. Well, the Amoraim knew all the Mishnahs, and certainly Rav Yochanan mentioned this Mishnah where it says you're not allowed to soak it in lukewarm water. So what was he asking Rav Yannai? And why was he surprised then that Rav Yannai tells him no? So the Menachem Nation of Nefesh explains that Rav Yochanan knew both the Mishnah and the Braisa, and he wanted to see how Rav Yannai would reconcile the two, or would he just say that this is a machlokas? And in fact, Rav Yannai does reconcile it to a certain extent. Omalei, Rav Yannai says to Rav Yochanan, im kein, ma bein li v'loch. He uses this interesting language, this poetic type of language. He says, if I can't give you the answers, Rashi says, delo yodana leferushe masnisan tvei minoch. If I can't explain this reconciliation between the Mishnah and the Braisa better than you, ma bein li v'loch, then why might a Rebbe in your Talmud? In other words, I have to be able to give you an answer. And he said that our Mishnah, which says that you're not allowed to go in shorin es achiltis b'poshrin, that's dasa yochid, masnisan yochidoihi. That's in a single opinion. The Tanya, where do we see that our Mishnah goes like the singular opinion of one of the Tanoim? The Tanya says in the Braisa, ein shorin es achiltis lo b'chamim v'lo b'tzonin. The majority opinion says you're not allowed to soak the chiltis, not in hot water, not in cold water. And along comes Rav Yosi. This is the Das Yochid, who's the author of our Mishnah. He says, "B'chamim osur, however, b'tzonin mutter." You're not allowed to do it in hot water or even lukewarm water. However, b'tzonin it is mutter. In cold water, it's permissible. But this is the Das Yochid. The Chachamim disagree, and that's what Rav Yannai said. We pass it like the Chachamim that in this situation, you're not allowed to soak the chiltus, not in hot water, not in cold water, and that's why I said osur to go soak the chiltus in cold water. And you're quoting me the Mishnah. That's the Das Yochid of Rav Yosi. What was the purpose of having this chiltis? Why would people drink this? It was obviously the problem is for its refuah purposes, so you can't go and use this, make this on Shabbos. So what medicinal purpose does it have? Gemara says, liyukra de liba. It is for what Rashi says is shalibo kovet olav. He has a heavy heart. I don't know what this means exactly. Maybe he has chest pain, whatever it exactly means. They would take this chiltis to treat this condition. Rav Acha bar Yosef chosh biyukri deliba. One time Rav Acha bar Yosef had this medical condition known as yukri deliba. He had heart pain. He had chest pain. So also the Kaimi Marukva, he went to Marukva and said, what should I do? So Amalei Marukva told him, zil go, shisi tloso tikle, go and take three tikle, tikle is shkalim, go and take three zahuvim's worth of this material, of this chilta, and spread it out that you'll have one third of it on each day. So go and drink this material, go and have this chiltis on three consecutive days. It's worth three shkalim. You'll have one shekel's worth on day one, one on day two, and one on day three, and that will cure you from this yukra deliba. So that's what he did. Ozal ishtei chamsha b'shabbos. So he drank the first dose on Thursday, on the fifth day of the week, on Thursday. Then he drank the second dose, Umali Shabbos. He finished off the second dose on Erev Shabbos on Friday. Now, the next dose is supposed to be on Shabbos. He didn't know what to do. So, Litzafra, so that next morning, he comes into the Beis Medrash, and Ozal Shaw Be Medrash, and he asks in the Beis Medrash, am I allowed to go? And we'll see, he really was asking to make it, but they understood him to say, are you allowed to take it? So he asked them, what's the deal with the Chiltus on Shabbos? So Amrulay, so the Beis Medrash, they told him, Tana Dvei Ravada, we learned in the Beis Medrash of Ravada. Amrulay, it was Tana Dvei Mar Bar Ravada. They learned in the Beis Medrash of Mar Bar Ravada. So in any event, whichever Beis Medrash they learned it in, they said, Shosa Adam Kav O Kabayim, you're allowed to drink even a Kav or a Kabayim's worth, a large amount of this Chiltus, Ve'enu Choshesh, and it's not a concern that you're being over Shabbos by drinking this. So therefore, that's your answer, Rav Acha Bar Yosef. You can drink this on Shabbos. So he told him, that was my question. Amalu, lish dos lo komo boili. I wasn't asking allowed to drink it. I know I'm allowed to drink it. Ki komo boili. My question was, lishros. Am I allowed to go and soak it? The Mishnah said, ain shorin es achiltis. So am I allowed to go and make this chiltis on Shabbos? That was my question. Or should I make it on Erev Shabbos? So Amalu, Rav Chiya Bar Avin. So Rav Chiya Bar Avin told him, b'didi havi yovda. I myself had the exact same problem that you have. I had this yukri deliba, and it was Shabbos. V'asai shilti Rav Ada Bar Avin. I personally went to ask Rav Ada Bar Avin myself, am I allowed to go and make this to soak the schiltis on Shabbos? Lo Rav Yodah, he didn't know the answer. So I went also shilti Rav Huna. I went to ask Rav Huna. Omar, and Rav Huna said, Achi Omar Rav. He said the name of Rav, Shore Betzonein, Umeniach Bechama. You are allowed to go and soak it in Tzonein, but he says, Meniach Bechama, then go leave it out in the sun, so this way it will get warmed up, and this way you'll have the beneficial effects from it to treat this Yukri Deliba situation. Now, when Rav said you're allowed to do this, the Gemara says, Kiman, is this only going according to the opinion of Deshare? Is this only going according to the opinion of Yose, who we just said allows you to do this in cold water? Or is this also even going to be the Chacham that said under normal circumstances you're not allowed to go be shore the chiltis even in cold water? So Gemara says, Afilu Mandiosa. This doesn't have to go only like the Das Yochid. Rav wasn't only passing like the Das Yochid of Rav Yossi, but this could even be according to the opinion of the Chachamim. Why is that? The Chacham say you're not allowed to do this. So the Gemara explains, Hani Mili, when did the Chacham say you're not allowed to do this? Hechadolo Ish Deklau. That's day one. Don't start this treatment for the Yukri Deliba on Shabbos morning if you don't have it prepared. In that situation, don't start. It's not Pikuach Nefoshos, apparently. So therefore, you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos the first time. So, Hani Mila Hecho Delo Ish Teklal. If you haven't had this medicine beforehand, then don't start it on Shabbos to make it on Shabbos. However, in your case, Avol Kivon, the Ish De Chamsha, you ate it, drank it on Thursday. Umali Shabbos, you drank it on Friday. So now, Ilo Shasi B'Shabbos, if you do not drink this on Shabbos, even if you don't have it, you'll have to make it on Shabbos, Mistakin, you're going to get sick. That would be Pikuach Nefashos, and therefore you have a hechter to go once you've started and had it on at least one day beforehand, or in your case, 2 days beforehand, so it would be dangerous not to drink it, so if you haven't prepared it beforehand, you'd even be allowed to pair it, even according to the Machmir position that says you normally can't be shore it in cold water, even that Machmir opinion, the Chacham would say you can do it in this situation. Another Maisa Shahaya, Mistamech V'Ozil, this is, he was leaning, an older Talmud Chacham was leaning, as we'll see on his nephew. The older Talmud Chacham was Rav Acher Bar Yosef, and he was leaning Akasve on the shoulder of his nephew, the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who was the son Bar Achse, the son of his sister. So he was leaning on his nephew, and they were walking and talking and learning. Amalei, Rav Acher Bar Yosef said to his nephew, Ki Matina Lebe Rav Safra. When we reach Rav Safra's house, Ailina helped me go in. Rashi says he was older and he needed help to get in, to move about. So he says, help me go inside to Rav Safra. I have a shaila to ask him. Nu, Kimatu, when they reached Rav Safra's house, Aile, the nephew dutifully did what his uncle asked him to do, and he brought him inside. But he apparently waited outside. And once he was inside, Rav Acha Bar Yosef asked Rav Safra the following shaila. Boy Mine. Mahu lechaskuse kitoniso bishabsa. Is one allowed to go and rub a shirt? This is a flax shirt, a linen shirt, and it was recently cleaned, so it was starched, so it was like stiff. So he says, are you allowed to go and rub it to make it a little bit less stiff on Shabbos? Do we say lerakuche since his intention over here is just to make it softer, and therefore, what's the problem? Vishapadami. Or do we say, no, When you're rubbing it, you're also making it whiter. Chivra means whiter. So it's a little bit like you're cleaning it, and therefore it's osur. That was his question. Can you go and take this starched linen shirt and rub it in order to go and make it a little bit softer? But there's the potential problem that it looks like you're trying to clean it. So Rav Safra tells him, since your intention over here is purely for the softening of this material, it's perfectly okay to do so. Okay, so Rav Acha bar Yosef gets his answer. He goes outside and meets back up with his nephew, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and also Amalei. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, "No, what did the Rebbe say? My boy, Marmine, what would you ask the Rebbe, and what did he tell you?" So Amalei. So Rav Acha bar Yosef tells his nephew, "Boy, I asked him, Ma'u l'kaskuse kitonisa, can I go and rub my shirt over here, this freshly starched shirt, b'shabasa, on Shabbos?" And he answered me, Rav Safra said, "V'amali, shabra domi, yeah, you're allowed to do that." Now, the nephew asked his uncle, "V'tiboy l'lamar sudra, why did you ask him about a shirt? Why didn't you ask him about a sudra, a certain type of scarf or kerchief? Why didn't you ask him about that?" So that, Rabbi Achav Yossi says, "Sudra, I knew. Sudra lo kami baile. I didn't have to go ask him about sudra. You know why? Because sudra, I knew the answer to. Sudra lo kami baile, because the baye me Rav Huna. I once had asked this question to Rav Huna upashitly, and he had answered me. And the Gears on the side says he had answered me that it was asur, li surah. So I already knew the answer to this, that you're not allowed to go and rub the scarf, this linen type of a scarf that is starched. That I knew you're not allowed to do." So the nephew asks and says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "So once you knew that you're not allowed to do the scarf, petishot le lemar misudra. So why didn't you learn out? Just like you're not allowed to do the scarf, you're also not allowed to do the shirt. Why did you have to ask him that question specifically if you knew the answer to the scarf?" So Rav Acha bar Yosef says, "No, the two aren't going together." Amalei, he says, "Hasam, by the scarf, mechse ki olude chivra. By the scarf, it certainly appears that I'm doing it for the purpose of whitening it, of making it more white, brighter. That, therefore, isn't allowed." The Mefarshim explained, this is something that you wear on your head. It's much more visible, and therefore, this is something that you would be interested very much in it looking very white and shiny. However, the kutina, that hacha lo mechse kolude chivra, that's one underneath your jacket, and therefore you're not so interested. Obviously, you're not so interested in everybody seeing that it's so white. You're interested in being comfortable. It should be soft and not be starched against your body. So therefore, Rav Safra allowed the kutinisa to be rubbed, but wouldn't allow the kerchief, the sudar, to be rubbed. Amar Chista continues and he says, "Hi kutinisa, this special type of a starched shirt." Return to the other days. He says, "Mishlufu ledida mikanya, that is shari. To go and take it off from its rod, from its kanya, which we'll see," Rashi explains, was basically a piece of firewood that they used to keep the shirt like a hanger, to keep the shirt nice and clean, and to keep it not getting all crumpled up. So to take the shirt out and leave the rod where it is and not move the rod, that's allowed. The rod is muktzah. Kanya, however, to go and remove the rod, mimena osur, to remove the hanger, so to say, the hanger is muktzah in this situation. It's firewood, and therefore it's not allowed. Amar Rava said, that's only if it's firewood. So then the firewood is muktzah on Shabbos. However, v'im kli kevayhu, if this, however, is a kli, it's not a piece of firewood, it's something that the orgim, the weavers, would use. We had this previously in the Gemara. Rashi says this is konishal orgim, the Torah's kli alav. So now it has a kli. So even though it's a kli shemalachta le'iser, you're allowed to move it, letzorch gufo or makomo. So here you need this kli to use it as the hanger for the shirt, and therefore you're allowed to remove it when you now need the shirt. So you need it, letzorch gufo or it's makomo. And therefore, Rava qualifies and says, well, you can't move the firewood, that's not a kli, but this kli kevoy, if the rod is a kli, so then you're allowed to move it. Aruchista says similarly, "Hai kishiso diyarka, this bunch of vegetables, ichaz yolamaycha behema, if it's not muksa because it's animal fodder, so then sharila tatuli, then you're allowed to go and move it. However, below, if it's not animal fodder, it's not edible even by animals, then it's also, then you're not allowed to move it. It's muksa. It's just firewood essentially, and therefore it is muksa." Furthermore, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi says the name of Rav, "Hai talya de bisra." They used to go and hang meat on a string. this talia is a string, so this string of meat is shari l'tatule. You're allowed to go and move this on Shabbos, either because it can be eaten raw by human beings, this is steak tartar, or you can feed it to your dog, so it's therefore going to be muchan, and it's not a problem to move it. However, the kabre, a string of fish, that is also because they did not eat sushi in those days. They did not have raw fish, and even the dogs, we said previously, don't eat raw fish, so therefore this is not considered muchan, and therefore it is muktza, and you're not allowed to move it. Amar Rav Katina, Rav Katina tells us, if one person is standing in the middle of the bed of a married couple, so omeid bekreis shalisa, it's like he's standing on the stomach of this woman. Rashi explains, this is the bed, she'ish v'ishto regilin ba'lishon, they normally sleep over there, and therefore he's going to be maharher, he's going to have inappropriate thoughts, and therefore a person shouldn't do this. However, the Gemara says, v'lav milsi, no, we don't pass like this, this is not correct. Now what in the world is this doing over here? So some have the suggestion that this girs over here should really be Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Katina, and that's the time, because we're going to have a whole bunch of statements now that Rav Chista made. In any event, these are all practical applications of various Derech Eretz type of activities. The Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista tells us, Bar Be Rav, a young Talmud Chacham, the Zovin Yarka, he's poor, and he's going to buy vegetables. Lizbin Aricha, he should buy a longer bunch of vegetables, because Kisha Ki Kisha, they're all the same thickness. And therefore, the urka mimela. So if you buy a longer one, you're getting the same amount of the bundle over here because they all have a similar thickness to them. Their width is all the same. But if you have a longer vegetable, you'll actually get more for your money. Similarly, Amar Rav Chista, he said another thing, Barbi Rab, these young Tamidei Chachamim that are poor, the Zovin Kanya. So when they're going to buy reeds, so Liz ben Aricha, again, since they come in a bundle, so essentially the circumference of the bundles are all the same, so therefore buy longer ones, you get more money, more material for your money, more reeds for your money, tuna ki tuna, because they're all the same thickness, and therefore, for Urka Mimela, anything that it's longer is extra, you get a better buy. Amar Rav Chista, another advice he gave them, Bar Be Rav, a young Talmid Chacham, the lo nafesh le'rifta, he doesn't have enough money for bread, so lo le'echo yarka, do not go and eat things that will mishum degari, that will stimulate your appetite, because you don't have anything to then resolve that with. So therefore, when you don't have a lot of bread, so don't eat vegetables which will stimulate your appetite, because you just don't have enough bread. Similarly, when I was a young man, and I was poor, and I was a young Talmud Chacham, and I was very poor, the low, I didn't eat the yarka, the low basirusi, and even after I became rich, lo ochli yarka, I didn't eat the vegetables. Why not? So Rav Chista explains, Bani Yusi, when I was a young Talmud Chacham and poor, Mishum Degari, as I just pointed out, if you don't have anything to eat after you stimulate your appetite, you're not going to be happy camper. And even when I got rich, Basi Rusi, I still didn't eat the Yarka. Why not? I said, Damina, Hecha, the Ayel Yarka, instead of wasting my stomach, so to say, on vegetables, Leo Bisra V'chavri, I should have meat and fish. So much healthier, better foods, at least in those days, they thought that. And therefore, he didn't waste his time, so to say, eating vegetables when he could, Baruch Hashem, afford a higher food, a healthier food. Amar Chista, another thing that Amar Chista said, Barbi Rabbi, young Talmud Chacham, the lone official lay rifter, doesn't have enough bread. Lo livtsa batsue. Rashi explains, Lo yochal achshav ma'at paz. When you have a little bit of bread, don't eat it now. And then later on, have a little bit more bread. He says that won't be as satisfying. He says that's not derech sviya. He says, Ella, wait, yitzarit v'yochal yachad. Don't eat the little bit of bread you have now. Wait, you get a little bit more bread some other time. Wait, and now when you have a decent sized meal, eat the breads. It'll have more of a benefit to you. You'll be more satiated by it rather than just having a little morsel now, a little morsel later on. Now, on the side, it says, we're not goris the next words, but we'll be goris them as best as we can. Rav Chista, another thing Rav Chista said, is Bar Be Rav, a young Talmud Chacham, the lone official Lerifta, doesn't have a lot of bread, lo livtza. He shouldn't go and be the one to divide up the bread and hand it out to everybody else. My timer, why not? The lo avi bayin yofa, because he won't give it out in a very nice fashion. And we learned previously, more in Brachos, that when a person goes and invites people to his house for washing, he can be mechabed them to give them kiddush, he can be mechabed them to lead the benching, but he should be the one that should go and wash. Why? Because he knows how much bread he has, and he's supposed to be generous and give out the bread on Shabbos, especially generously to everybody else. But if you give it to somebody else, he's not going to know, does he really have enough? And he may give it out in a not so generous fashion. Therefore, you should be the one to give it out. So the Mefarshim explain over here, that's why it's not goris according to some, because it doesn't make simple sense. You know, if there isn't enough bread, so why should he be the one not to give it out? The other person also won't have enough bread. So some suggest over here, we're talking that he was one of the owners of this bread and let somebody else give it out because he may not be so generous because he knows how limited they are in what they have. So better to let somebody else do it than let the young Talmud Chacham be the one to divide it up in a not generous way. In any event, the Amar Chista, another statement the Chista said, when I was a young boy, when I was a young Talmud Chacham, I wouldn't go and break the bread. Ad the Shaddai Yodi Bikulimana. So this goes back to the first statement that we made about the bread. He would put his hand into the basket and wait till he had enough bread in the basket to have a satiating meal, and then he would go and eat it. And this way he would have all his needs taken care of by having all the bread combined together till he had a decent amount rather than having it piecemeal. Another statement that Ruchista said, if a person has the opportunity to go and be satiated with just barley bread, which is a cheaper, inferior type of bread, and instead he eats wheat bread. Now we're talking about a poor person that really can't afford it, and instead he takes a more luxurious bread, the wheat bread, rather than the barley bread, such a person is over batashlis. He doesn't have a lot of money, and he's wasting it on the wheat bread rather than the barley bread. Remember, Rapapa said, Haiman de Evshul Limishte Shechra. Similarly, if a person can get away drinking beer, Rapapa was a big beer maker. He says if a person could go and drink beer, but instead he drinks wine, also over Mishum Baltashis, he's wasting his money. A person doesn't have a lot of money and shouldn't waste it on this. However, the Gemara says, Vlav Milsi, both of these are incorrect. The wheat bread versus the barley bread and the wine versus the beer, both of them you can take the better thing because while it's baltashlis from a certain extent wasting your money to buy the more expensive wheat bread rather than barley bread and the more expensive wine rather than beer, however, baltashlis the gufa adiv is going to deteriorate your body by having the inferior product, and therefore that's also baltashlis, and it's much more important that you stay healthy. So even if you can't really afford it, but you're going to stretch things so you'll somehow be able to get the barley bread, the wheat bread instead of the barley bread, and have the wine instead of the beer, that is preferable. Amr Chista, another statement that Amr Chista said, Bar Beirach, if a person is a young Talmud Chacham, the Lesley Mishcha, and he doesn't have any oil, Rashi explains, he used to wash their hands with oil before they would do Mayim Achronim, to clean off all the Shmutz, all the Zuhama. So they would get the grease off the hands by rubbing it in oil. So Nimshi, what should he do if he doesn't have this? Nimshi B'mayah D'charitze. Instead, go and take water. Rashi explains, Hanikom Yachad, it's pooled together. The God Alem Yirak Rukos, and it has some sort of algae on top of it. It has certain type of vegetables growing on top of it that are thick. And the Nocha Kishemen, and this will serve similar to what the oil does. This is like a oily type of a substance, and it will be able to remove the schmutz that you have on your hands. So if a person doesn't have, his young Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have the ability to take oil, so do this. It's just as good, or almost as good, and this way you won't say the benching with schmutz in your hands. Amar Chista, another statement that Amar Chista said, Bar Bei Rav, young Talmud Chacham, Dezovin Umtza, when he goes and buys meat, so he should specifically look to buy Lisbon Unka. He should buy the meat by the Tzavor, Rashi says. He should buy meat of the neck. Why? This beit losamin ibisra, because it has three different types of tastes in the neck meat. Rashi explains, Gimu Matamim, Shemen, it has a shomein, it has like a fatty type of a taste. The kochush also has a thin type of a taste. The gilat sabra, it also has like the ligament of the neck. So that's somehow beneficial. It has all the different tastes. He can't afford to have three different types of meat, but by buying this one type, he'll have the benefit of having all the three different type of tastes. Another statement that Ruchista made, from Ruchista, Barbi Rabbi Yom Tam Chochem, Dezoven Kitunisa, Lizban Midanahar Abba. When you're going and buying your shirts, so buy them from this place, Midanahar Abba, where they have the highest quality shirts. And this way you won't waste your money. And make sure, V'nichavre Kotlos Yomim, and make sure you clean it every 30 days. This way it will last. The Miftayale Trade Sayachishas, and it will last for the entire year. It will last for a full 12 months. And he says, V'ano Arva. I will guarantee you, I promise you that this will work, because Rashi explains, I did this myself, and it worked. Rashi says, "Ani arbedover, I'll be the guarantor over here. Should this guy lo shana shleim, that this shirt will last a full year, and you'll be satisfied. You won't have to buy another shirt all year long." Mara asks, my kitunisa, what exactly is this type of a shirt? So kita noa, the word kitunisa stands for kita noa. It means a very nice shirt. Rashi explains, kas noa, ru'i lahoshiv ba'ala b'kas noa. This is the type of shirt you wear in good company. So this is a dress shirt. So therefore, kitunisa is a dress shirt. Another statement Ruchista said, Barbi Rabbi Yom Tam Chacham lo leisiv atzivsa chadata. Don't go sit on, Rashi says, machatzelis chadosha, on a new mat that's made out of gemi, because it's moist. Lach. The lichluchis hagemi mevala b'gadr. And the moisture over here is going to ruin right away your clothing. So don't sit. You sit on the floor. So don't sit on this type of a mat, because it's going to ruin your clothing, the machle money. Ruchista continues, he says, Yom Ruchista, another statement, Barbi Rabbi Yom Tam Chacham lo lishader money. He shouldn't give his clothing into the innkeeper that he's staying by to launder his clothing, to whiten his clothing. It's not right. It's not proper. Why? Because she's going to see his clothing being dirty. And she's going to see something on it that's inappropriate. For example, maybe he had a seminal emission, and therefore it's going to disgust her, and she's going to think less of Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore, and she's going to become hateful of him. She's going to be disgusted by him, and therefore one shouldn't do this. Now we conclude the advice that Rav Chisda gave to the young Talmidei Chacham, he now gave to his own family. He gave to his daughters. Rav Chisda told his daughters, to have eitz ni'oso and ba'apik of rachu. You should be very careful and very, very tzniastic in front of your husbands. The following advice he gave them. Number one, lo techlu na'amo ba'apik of rachu. Don't eat bread even in the presence of your husband, because you may not eat it in a nice way, and therefore he's going to not like you. He's going to be disgusted by you. Rashi points out, you're going to eat too much, it's going to love, and he's not going to be happy, and you're going to become disgusting to him. Number one. Number two, lotechlun yarku b'leila, don't go and eat vegetables at night. Rashi says, it's going to give you halitosis, it's going to give you bad breath, so don't eat the vegetables at night. Likewise, lotechlun tamre b'leila, velotishtun shichu b'leila, don't go and have dates or beer at nighttime. Rashi explains that both of them cause diarrhea, mishalshlin, or they could give you to have to pass gas, and this will be disgusting to your husband as well. And likewise, don't go to the bathroom. They didn't have indoor toilets. So he said, when you're going to the bathroom outside, don't go to the bathroom in a place where your husband can see you, because that's also going to be disgusting. And Rashi points out, this is even if he doesn't see you, even in the same place where you know he's going to go, because he's going to see a waste there and it's going to disgust him. If you could carry above a inish and get used to the fact that when a person knocks at your door, don't answer the door, lotemru manu, who is there in the masculine form. Rashi says, mihu is manu is mihu, who's there is loshun zohar. Lotagilu lishonchen ledarbin zohar. He said, he's making a harchaka here, a gather. Don't get used to talking in the masculine form. So if somebody's at your door, don't ask who is there in the masculine form, ela mani. Ask who's there in the feminine form. In other words, accustom yourself to going to speaking only to women and not to men. Finally, he gives some advice about in the bedroom. Nokit marginiso b'chad yodei. When you're with your husband, again, the Gemara is not afraid to discuss anything, and Rashi will explain what the Gemara means here. When you're with your husband, so nokit marginiso b'chad yodei v'kura b'chad yodei. Let your husband hold your upper part of your body, your breast area, with one hand, and osamakom, your genital area, with his other hand. Marginisa achvilu, show him the marginisa. In other words, let him go and first touch your breast. Vekura lo achvilu, don't show him, don't let him touch in your osamokum, adimitstarin, until he is filled with desire and it's somewhat painful for him not to have relations with you. Vahadir achvilu, then allow that to happen, allow the relations to occur. Rashi says the purpose over here is to make him more desirous of you, kadeshi yisrabe tavoso v'chibaso, that he should love you more and that he should be desirous of you. And therefore, this is the way to be in the relationship, the private relationship with your husband. He's giving them advice how to conduct themselves. Again, the Gemara is not afraid to discuss anything. Tarihi v'tzorich ani lilmod. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Ein sholin es hakarshinin. We said that you're not allowed to go either soak or float the vetch to separate the chaff from the bean part, the vetch part. So Gemara says, Masnisin d'lo ki'aytana. Our Mishnah, which didn't allow you to do this, is not like the following Tana, the Tanya. The Braisa tells us, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Ein Mashgichin Bekavra Kolikar. Our Mishnah allowed you to not go and soak the Karshinin, but it allowed you to put the Karshinin in some sort of a sieve and then carry the sieve into the trough of the animals. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he didn't even allow you to do that. He didn't allow you to use the sieve in any way whatsoever. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Gorfim Mifnei HaPitom. You're allowed to go and sweep out. We had a Grufa Ketuma by an oven. You can go and shovel out. So here it means Gorfim Mifnei HaPitom. A Pitom is an animal that you're trying to fatten up. Yisrael was Mefatim. He would go fatten up animals for Avodah Zarah. So this idea of a Pitom is an animal that you're trying to fatten up to go and shecht. So you're allowed to shovel away the area that you're feeding the animal for such an animal because you want it to eat well, and it won't eat well if it's all messy. And you can push it to the side, any extra food over there, because the animal will defecate on it and will dirty it up, and then it won't be desirous of eating this, so therefore you're allowed to keep this stall of the animal nice and clean because it has a purpose. It's not considered a tircha yaseir. It's not considered something that's inappropriate because it has the purpose for taking care of the animal. Divri Rabbi Dosa, this is the opinion of Dosa. However, the Chacham disagree and say you're not allowed to go and do this. And the Gemara will discuss what is the source of the machlokas over here, Mefarish B'Gemara. Likewise, the Gemara says, "Not lim milifnei behemazu v'nos lifnei behemazu b'Shabbos." You're allowed to take food from animal one and put it in front of animal two on Shabbos. That's not something that we're saying is extra work because animal two won't eat it. No, animal two will eat it. Not a problem. Gemara starts off and asking, when the Chacham say you're allowed to do this, so Rabban and Areisha Pligi, are they arguing only with the first part about the Gorfin, or Oasefa Pligi, are they only arguing about the second part that you're allowed to move the food to the side, right? At the beginning we said Gorfin with the Apitam, Umasaukil it started in Arei. So are the Chacham, when they argue with Rabbi Dosa, Chacham Osrim, are they arguing with both of them, or just the first one, or the second one, O Tavai Pligi, or in both of them? So Toshma, we bring a brisa. The Tani says, "Befeirush in the brisa, the Chacham Omrim, Echazev Echazev." Both the Gorfin and the Mesalkin, the Chacham say you're not allowed to do Echazev Echazev. Lo Yisalkenu Litzdadim. You're not allowed to do either one. So they argue in both cases. On Ruchista, another statement from Ruchista, Machlokis Be'evush Karka. They're arguing when you're dealing with shoveling away, cleaning out the trough on a dirt floor. So this trough is on the dirt. So if Dosa says you're allowed to, and Chum says you're not allowed to. I will be able to clean. If you're dealing with a utensil that's a trough, like a metal trough or some other earthenware trough, then even the Chum say you're allowed to do this. Morai really questions that and says, really? The Avishal Karka, Mikal, Man, the Shari, on the ground? Does anybody say you can shovel it away? Hakamash Rigumos, we're concerned that if you shovel it away, you're going to be smoothing out the ground and you're going to fill in the holes. Now, whether it's in the field or in the house, this is not allowed to be done for different reasons. So Mashri Gumos is also. So does anybody really say it? Telling Rav Dosa says you're allowed to do this? So that can't be it. Elo, Iyid Marachi Yidma. If Rav Chista really said something, this is what he said. Amar Rav Chista said, Machlokas Be'evish Shokli. They're arguing, even if it's in a metal trough, in an earthenware trough, the Chacham say no, and Rav Dosa says yes. But everybody agrees, I will be Avis of Karka. If it's an Avis of Karka, then because of Mashri Gumos, the recall also. Everybody says you're not allowed to do that. Then it says, the notlin milifne behema. We said that you're allowed to go and take from one behema and put in front of another behema. Tani chodos. So we have two prices that seem to be contradictory, but we'll say that they're not. First price says, notlin milifne behema shapir yofa. You're allowed to go take it from an animal that has a good mouth. We'll see what that means. The notlin behema shapir ra. And go take the food and put it in front of animal number two that has a bad mouth. That's the first price. The tanya idoch. Second brisa says the opposite. Notlim mifnei behema shapir ra. You can take it from an animal whose mouth is bad and put it. Venosim mifnei behema shapir yofa. Put it in front of an animal that has a good mouth. Now, what seems to be obviously contradictory, Gemara says on Rabbi Ide Ide. Both of them talk about the same thing. Mikame chamra. You're allowed to take the food from in front of a donkey and lekame turushaklinon and go and put it before an ox. So both of them say the same thing. But the other way around, Mikame Torah, take it from an ox, Lekame Chamer, put it in front of a donkey, Lo Shekhlina, that you're not allowed to do. So how the Brice is telling us the same thing. I, Baha Diktani, when it says, No Til Mifnei Behema Shapir Yofa, when it says you can take from an animal that has a good mouth and put it in front of an animal that has a bad mouth, so why is it called a good mouth? The Chamor, the less they rivi. The Chamor doesn't drool on its food, and therefore, that's called a good mouth. So you can take it from the mouth, the good mouth of the chamor, and it doesn't drool, the nosin of the behema should be a ra, and put it in front of the behema that does drool, that has a lousy mouth, a bad mouth, and therefore it means the first price is that you're allowed to take it from the chamor and put it in front of the tar. So the piora is the para, the tar, the shor, the cow family. We turn to the Yom Aleph, the Isli Rivi. Why is it called a poor mouth? Because it drools a lot. Now, the second price of all the tani, no behemo should be all right. You take it from the animal who has a bad mouth. We just said that the donkey has a good mouth. So how can you tell me it means the same thing? How come here calling the donkey's mouth a bad mouth? It's talking about the chamor, the lo daik v'yocha. The chamor is a bad mouth in respect to it eats anything. It eats junk. It eats all sorts of thorns and thistles, Rashi explains. Lo daik v'yocha kotzim ubarkanim. It eats these thorns and thistles. So that's why the donkey is referred to as a bad mouth in the second braisa. And the nosel of Abraham Shapiro Yofa, and you're putting it in front of an animal that has a good mouth, what is that referring to? That's Bapara. Bapara only eats the daik of Yochla. It eats only good stuff. And therefore, it's called a good mouth in regards to what it eats. It's called a bad mouth in regards to the drool. So therefore, the both braises are saying the same thing. You can take food from a donkey and put it in front of an ox. That's not going to be a problem. The ox will eat it no matter what. But the other way around, taking it from an ox and putting it in front of a donkey, the donkey will be repulsed by this and will not eat it. Therefore, you're doing work for no reason whatsoever. With this, we conclude today's shiur.